What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, you're back with us. It's September, unbelievably. September 1st, 2020, Patriot Power Hour, number 110. Ben the Breaker of Banksters here with my co-host and good friend, Future Dan. How you doing there, sir?
Good. You want to get some housekeeping out of the way? Some show scheduling? And what are we doing this month?
Well, this is the last month of the season. The summer season coming to an end, and we'll obviously hit into the fall slash election season. As you know, we do follow the seasons, the kind of the spring, summer, fall across the equinox, the solstice, et cetera, et cetera. So, got a few more episodes of that coming on. Really, you know, looking forward to the October and beyond. That's going to be craziness. But we got a lot to prepare for and a lot to still cover here in this next month.
Are we taking next week off?
That's up to you, man. I'm not going to be able to make it live on Tuesday, to be honest, but we could try to go a special day Wednesday or Thursday or pre-record for one of those days. So up to your schedule,
yeah,
what's
going on
in the world.
I think we'll put something out next week, but we got to talk to Intrepid Commander maybe another night.
Yep, that's definitely true. So I'm going to be hanging out with the family and throughout Labor Day, which is crazy. I just can't believe the summer's freaking over.
So we will announce that on social media.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's get that out.
We're
going to
have content
too.
Out. And we also have Patriot Correspondence number 3 will get out pretty shortly as well. It's pretty much in the hopper. So we're still going to have 4+ episodes in the month of September. And really, if things pop off, which I expect them to after Labor Day and into October and beyond especially, we might have some special reports, either live or pre-recorded, even throughout the day. If the stock market's dropping big time like it was last March.
You think that's happening this month?
I'm not saying this month, but I think it could happen certainly between now and, you know, November.
Or
during November as well.
We're going to flex next week. It won't be Tuesday at 8. We know that much. At Future Danger 6, we'll put out that information. Where can they also see it on your feeds?
At Bankster Breaker is probably the best place to look for. At Bankster Breaker on Twitter. But really, I think FutureDanger.com and your Twitter handle, FutureDanger6, is the best place to find, you know, get the best updates, not just for the news, but for what's going on with our show. And of course, can't forget though, PrepperBroadcasting.com. We don't post ahead of time what episodes in the time, but of course, if you find it's midweek, late next week, you haven't heard from us, go there. You'll find the archive.
We should probably put it out by daily audio cache, what we're going to do.
Yeah.
But it won't be Tuesday. So this show can be called in live. Why don't we give them the number?
Got the number on hand. Ready? 303-731-3609.
Unfortunately, we're limited to one caller at a time, but we'd love to talk to you if you
exactly
catching this live or catch that number and use it in a future episode. It stays the same.
Well, yeah, give me that number again. Where is it?
Yeah.
Come on, we got to give that number out more than once. I don't have it memorized quite yet. Put me on the spot and throw it away.
303-731.
Yep.
3609.
303-731-3609. One person at a time, so if someone's already on here, unfortunately, you won't be able to make it. And as always, we will have, even though it won't be a live show next Tuesday, almost every Tuesday we are live, so even if you can't make it tonight on the line, that number will be open pretty much every show, especially in the second half. You know, this first half of the show, we have the news blitz, which we're going to get to here shortly on the second segment. But this first segment, we kind of talk about the big topics of the day or what's really been irking us. Try not to turn too much into a rant, but we do have what topic for today, I think, right?
Well, what I wanted to get into first, I don't know if it's a topic you're thinking of. It's not the topic of the show. When you get into the Spreaker playback, because this is a podcast as well as live, so when you listen to this and read the metadata that Ben types in right before we start the show, this won't be mentioned there, but I wanted to raise the point that less than 4 hours after we talked about violence with armed militias during Midwest rioting, that it happened, right? Rittenhouse, Kyle Rittenhouse, 17, in Wisconsin. Two fatalities, severely wounded a third. The video's all out there. And we talked about it 4 hours before. That's where it could go next.
Yeah.
And how that is a dangerous escalation. So it's kind of macabre to, you know, talk about how we were right predicting things. And that's not what the show is about necessarily. But we are a show that's talking about this could be next.
Yeah.
And if you anticipate it, you can cope with it on every level that you need to cope with these things on, including your preparedness. That's what this show's about.
Yeah, this wasn't rocket science. We were just thinking, hey, what could be the next level? Well,
it happened.
We've seen escalation here. We've seen escalation there. Now we're wondering when are one of the counter-protesters going to bring violence? That's what we were talking about. And look what happened within just a few hours. It's pretty crazy. So,
and then we had another death in Portland of a pro-president supporter.
Right, it is definitely back and forth.
So we had gunfights in the streets since we were last on.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's not, again, not trying to say we were right per se. It's not rocket science. It's pretty apparent that this stuff's going to happen and that it's going to continue to escalate, to be honest, if you've been paying some attention. So the question is, and what Prepper Broadcast Network's all about, is what do you do to prepare, and what are some of the actionable events, or what are some of the signals for you to put in some of your preparedness plan? And if you, whether you think locally or regionally, if you live in the part of Wisconsin, maybe you get your little bug out or you head out of town because of this. But kind of from a big picture, you can also think of it from a kind of a generalist, with the mistrust of cops and the morale of cops going down and more street violence ticking up and people being emboldened. How does that affect your prep and plans? So just food for thought and some of the things we try to shine light on, I guess.
But think of the people that live in the areas where this violence and arson and mayhem is happening.
Yeah.
Not typically people who would think about preparedness first. Mm-hmm. Probably the vast preponderance of people in these areas think of state aid, state protection, you know, law enforcement, excessive law enforcement, excessive in every direction and not excessive enough in other directions, like wealth redistribution. What I'm hoping is that our message tonight is making it somehow to people who are the vast majority in these areas who, in 2020, you know, the light bulb has gone off. I should really think about being able to get out of here to protect my life and my property, even though I'm from here, probably have family there, probably have a job and have roots and can't leave. But I have come convinced this year that some level of preparedness is a good, it's not a kooky idea.
Absolutely. No, 2020 is the year of the prepper, for better or worse. Just thinking of people at my work. I don't know them personally, meaning I've never met them in person, literally. But they live in Chicago. They've lived in Chicago pretty much their whole life, and their family was there. And guess what they're doing? They're moving out of Chicago. Why? Well, because of the civil unrest and the violence and the crime. They literally say that. And these are very politically correct people. They would definitely not say, you know, they're not, oh, I'm moving out of here because, you know, there's too many X race or, you know, there's too much of this going on. They're literally all worried about their property value and they're worried about being carjacked. They're not doing it because they're racist. They're doing it because safety and monetary reasons. Absolutely. These people probably vote Democrat, to be honest. And they're moving out of the city. It's how dangerous it is, right? So to speak. And so that's, these are like high level professional white collar, 200, make 200 plus thousand a year type of people. So they're obviously on that high end scale. But I think, you know, there's all types of people, whether it's because of the civil unrest, the violence, the crime, or coronavirus itself. And a lot of other things, getting out of core cities, getting out of overpopulated areas, and or just having some basic level of preparedness. I mean, almost everybody now has a great storage of toilet paper, right? Absolutely. I know that's kind of a joke in the meme, but even just that basic sense just shows that culture shift. It kind of has been a small shift in some regards, but for a lot of people, it's been really big, and I think either open their eyes for the first time, or if they were already kind of interested, definitely push them over the edge, and they're going hardcore prepping.
Yeah. So a lot of people picking up a podcast for the first time might want to, you know, ask the question, why aren't these guys talking about the election, yet they seem to be talking about politics? That's what's different about what we're doing, really.
Well, we talk about the results, you know, and or potential results of an election, but we don't talk as much about the candidate, and definitely not like the identity politics or like, you know, what the talking heads do, I guess. You explain it much more elegantly and precisely than I, but we definitely are into the gossip. We're not into that day-to-day stuff. We will talk, though, for example, that Trump looked like he's having some issues walking. Is that stroke related or just maybe he had a dead leg from flying all day, you know? Could it be blown out of proportion? But we're not going to spend hour upon hour talking about that by any means. And on the flip side, we're also not going to be talking too much about Joe Biden. In fact, most of the articles we review, we talk about, you know, the Democratic candidate, right? We don't really even focus. So I think in that regard, we do try to be more of a news source than just politics. But especially in election year, I mean, look, we got it's September. It's a huge event. It's coming up very quick, and we got to talk about it.
There's nearly nothing that's going on CNN or MSNBC or Fox News that's being talked about is ever talked about us, though. We're trying to cut through it and see where, you know, life is going to impede on all of us if we don't speak up. This show is also not about just complaining about how bad things are, right? It's more about waking up patriots so you can get active, whether it be social media or just in your daily discourse with people, online, writing, however you can communicate, to stave off some rotten tendencies that could be headed this way. Which, of course, we will get into in the second segment, as we always do, this week's News Blitz. But I can preview that it's, you know, the same summer we've had all summer, Ben. A low simmer with a lot of dangers lurking but not actually being realized.
No, I think that's a good way to put it. And we're going to get into this News Blitz, and there's a lot of very important articles, but all the real issues are just beneath the surface, it seems, kind of show their head and then, you know, spike a little bit and then go back on the undercurrent.
We're going to call them out.
But we're going to call them out. Nothing's really been resolved since March by any means from coronavirus point of view, let alone all this other debt spending and the civil strife. So we're going to get into to that news, but also keep that big picture in mind for sure, all right?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we'll be right back. Stick with us. Patriot Power Hour, part of the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
Fight's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
September 1st, 2020, segment two, Patriot Power Hour News Blitz, column one. Legal document needed to start the FBI's spying of the president's 2016 campaign has disappeared. Everybody knows that that document should exist to even get a FISA warrant. That rule is in place since 2001. The document doesn't exist. Polling firm warns of a national poll suppression underway. It's believed that the president's numbers are rising, and every mainstream outlet is silent about that. Simultaneously in the United States this summer. In Los Angeles County, a church has been threatened with property seizure for challenging the county's coronavirus restrictions directly targeted by the government. Column 2, rioting. Rioters cleared from outside the White House during another night of violence. Marched to Portland mayor's home declared riot as burning debris thrown into building. Medical examiner informs prosecutors that that fentanyl overdose killed George Floyd. Carrying that news under riots erupt, because if that cop gets off, more riots will erupt. In the Middle East, Iranian-backed Syrian militia killed in another alleged Israeli airstrike, a slow simmering proxy war between Iran and Israel continues. In the Pacific, China tests fires carrier killer missiles last week. U.S. warship sails near disputed islands in the South China Sea. Then another U.S. warship again transits the Taiwan Strait. Report out of the Pentagon today points to China doubling its nuclear warhead stockpile and expanding global bases. It named the number in the Chinese arsenal as 200 warheads. First time the Pentagon's ever done that. Named a number publicly. War with Russia, always in the background. Russian Navy is conducting major maneuvers near Alaska, simultaneous to these actions with China, the United States, and the Pacific. U.S. jets intercept Russian military aircraft off the Alaskan coast. Russian warplanes over the Black Sea intercept U.S. Air Force B-52s. A lot going on up in the air and on the seas. Head-to-head with China and Russia right now. In the United States, the federal government sends nearly 1,000 National Guard troops and 200 federal officers to Kenosha, Wisconsin, following the rioting. In the Eastern Mediterranean, we have NATO allies, Turkey and Greece, essentially in a locked standoff with France, another NATO member, backing Greece. Keep an eye on that. If NATO allies come to actual blows, it could be damaging or fatal to the alliance. And again, one man shot and killed near downtown Portland riots after the Kenosha shooting. Police are investigating an Antifa supporter in that Portland shooting. A senior CIA official died of suicide in June in a bizarre story. And of course, Rand Paul's life was nearly threatened on the streets of D.C. Elected leaders and their safety. Always something we're watching on Patriot Power Hour. Column 4. Got some severe flooding in Sudan and Bangladesh. Dozens are dead. We got large earthquakes around the Ring of Fire, including the Indian Ocean. Hurricane Laura did do a little damage, a few fatalities. It's over now. Elon Musk reveals a device that connects your brain to a computer. And we will get into that in segment 4, I think. We got to get in with what Musk is doing. Series of corona holes spark a G1 minor geomagnetic storming. Asteroid flybys. All happening, all low-level. Topical news, not dangerous. Just keeping you aware of where we are with these things. And finally, coronavirus cases are on the rise across more than half of U.S. states as we enter September. And finally, in economic news, the dollar index drops to its lowest level since May of 2018. Okay, it's hitting under 92, getting near the danger zone for the dollar vis-a-vis other currencies dropping. All right, we got a report that markets, this is an opinion piece, but that markets are dangerously underpricing what's going to come when corporate defaults, a wave of them hit in coming months. People lining up for record numbers in Alameda County Food Bank. New unemployment claims remain historically high. And that's it. We have federal government to debt ratio tonight at 136, the highest ever on future dangers, economic gauges. That's your snapshot. That's what's happening. We go into September of 2020, Ben. What do you say?
Good stuff, good stuff. Hit it hard, man. So many different topics. That's why the future danger is so legit and try to hit on so much on Patriot Power Hour. I, of course, want to focus real quick on the third column. Won't belabor the point too much, but we're still seeing more than 1 million initial jobless claims per week. Now, back in March and April, we were seeing 3-4 million. So it's great that that's down to 1 million. But that's still way, way more than can be supported by a growing economy. This means the economy is still shrinking. Absolutely. You need to have this number under 300,000. For it to be neutral. So we're still shedding a lot of jobs. Another thing you got to remember, and I'm using round numbers that are not exactly true, but let's say we used to have 150 million people employed. Now we have 110 million. Well, guess what? 1 million is a much larger percentage of 110 than it is of 140.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So each dig is a little deeper and hurts a little more. So it's technically out of the red zone, but that red zone, I think, was kind of moved the goalpost because it's so extreme. First off, that just shows how big the disaster was.
No, but it's in reality, to listeners tonight, it's still way red.
Yeah.
Unemployment has exploded,
yeah.
And it's continuing to explode.
Right, so this is one where it's like, oh, this is the type of stuff, and I'm absolutely not saying you're doing this, but someone at CNBC or someone trying to talk up the stock market might be like, we're at, you know, four-month lows of initial jobless claims. That means the recovery is coming. And that's the total opposite of what I believe is the truth and definitely what I'm saying here. So something to keep an eye on. Of course, some people are getting back to work or at least partially back to work, but damage has been very bad. Question is, what's going to happen in the next 3 months? Because if things don't turn around, we need another trillion, two, $3 trillion, just like we did in the first, second quarter, 2020. Look, this dollar index of 92.59, that's not a horrible number, but long story short, that's down 8% or more from where it used to be. That'll drop several more points, and we're going to also see the federal government debt-to-GDP ratio grow precipitously. I mean, it's already up from, I think, 106%, 108% at the start of the year, if I recall, to 136%. So imagine your personal finances. You used to be 108% in debt, which is not good. You're in more debt than you make per year, let's say. But now you're 136%. Just in the last few months, I mean, that's a huge difference. And if that moves up to 150%, by even the end of Q1 of next year, that's just going to be irreparable damage, I think.
Yeah, it's a slow-motion depression.
Right, and every day's worse. It's like, okay, well, the economy hasn't collapsed yet, and the stock market's still great highs. Okay, but nothing's been solved. It's actually gotten worse with compounding interest since yesterday.
And just massive welfare.
Well, exactly. And that's something we're going to talk about here on the flip side, second half of the show. But there's all different types of welfare trying to come out. Everyone's coming out with a plan, whether that's mandatory stock ownership for babies or cash handouts.
That was a topic I thought we were going to, we're going to save it.
Yeah.
We're going to get into it more later, but we're going to preview it.
Okay.
That's Bill Ackerman. Who's he and what did he say?
I think he's Pershing Square. I forgot exactly which fund he is, but he often shows up on CNBC, billionaire, hedge fund manager. And he essentially said to cure inequality so that everyone will have a stake in the game and everyone will be a capitalist. And this is kind of how he spins it, right? To those folks that want free market or capitalism, trying to appeal and trick them, in my opinion, by saying if we were able to give every child born in America essentially a 401k from birth, and it compounds at 8% a year forever, they will be millionaires by the time they retire. It's, you know, much better than Social Security, much better than a government program. Well, it's still a government program and massive subsidies. It's just
government. He's
trying to couch it. Exactly. It's government forced investment. He's trying to couch it as how to bust inequality and let everyone get into the free market. But it's destroyed the free market, so it's the exact opposite.
It'd be like Social Security. You'd have to live long enough to get it.
Well, that's a good point. And qualify if your social credit score isn't good enough.
Yeah, we're going to get into why this is a terrible, terrible idea. Why this sounds good and really isn't.
Yeah, so it's almost like there's a flavor of welfare for every person out there. There's just direct transfer payments, you know, if you really just want to do that, and just straight takeovers, reparations. But then there's this kind of, hey, capitalism 2.0, let's make it friendly and work for everybody and cure inequality. Sounds so great, but we will, again, get into some of the specifics why it's BS and talk about maybe some solutions we come up with and a lot more. And we'll be right back, though. Stick with us. Patriot Power Hour. Got money, I'll do anything for you.
Got money, just tell me what you want me to. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
It was right after the revolution, right after peace had been concluded, and Ethan Allen went to London to help our new country conduct its business with the king. The English sneered at how rough we are and rude and simple-minded and on like that everywhere he went, until one day he was invited to the townhouse of a great English lord. Dinner was served, beverages imbibed. Time passed, as happens, and Mr. Allen found he needed the privy. He was grateful to be directed thence. Relieved, you might say. Now, Mr. Allen discovered on entering the water closet that the only decoration therein was a portrait of George Washington. Ethan Allen done what he came to do and returned to the drawing room. His host and the others were disappointed when he didn't mention Washington's portrait. And finally, his lordship couldn't resist and asked Mr. Allen had he noticed it, the picture of Washington he had. Well, what did he think of its placement? Did it seem appropriately located to Mr. Allen? Mr. Allen said it did. His host was astounded. Appropriate? George Washington's likeness in a water closet? Yes, said Mr. Allen, where it'll do good service. The whole world knows nothing to make an Englishman shit quicker than the sight of George Washington.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
We're live. We are back. Patriot Power Hour. It's September. It's the 1st of September. And it's 2020. Unbelievable. All of that, but here we are. Despite everything. So, got a few more episodes again here in September. Rolling out the rest of the season. Come up to the election relatively soon as well. But, if you haven't figured it out yet, we like to talk about all different types of topics. Because the world is quite complex, and knowing a little bit about everything does pay off. Sure, you got to be a specialist to some degree, especially to make money, it seems like these days. But from a knowledge and news and preparedness point of view, being a generalist is actually very beneficial, in my opinion. So anyway, we're covering some economics. We're talking about unemployment, talking about inflation. Well, actually, we didn't cover much inflation, but I suppose my answer to the next question or topic you want to cover, kind of that mandatory investment and these other welfare and stimulus and bailout programs, whatever you want to call it, corporate bailouts, the stimulus checks directly to the people, almost everything except for tax cuts is being considered to kind of prop things up and save and bail out people. What's that going to lead to? That's going to inevitably, absolutely, mathematically has to lead to inflation of some goods. It's just, what are those? Number one, and when is that inflation? So will that inflation happen right away, or kind of be bottled up for years and years until there's a hyperinflation event? That's kind of the debate, I think. When will the inflation hit in the magnitude, not if. So that's really the end result. And who's going to pay for this? Is it going to be paid by debt? We can get directly into that Bill Ackman proposal if you'd like, or other maybe opportunists, let's call them, out there trying to find ways to save the children with more and more debt spending and more Ponzi schemes. What say you, and do you sign off on this to bust inequality?
No, it doesn't make sense. I'm not enough of an Austrian school economist to voice it, but I'm sure, you know, Ackman said it, what, today, yesterday? Within a week, I'll find someone who's able to explain why this is the equivalent of a perpetual motion machine. If everybody has to put the exact same amount of their wages over their lifetimes into a marketplace, it has to inflate the entire thing in a way that can't be productive in the end. This is malinvestment. This isn't anything based upon the worth of the assets being bought in the market. There's no retracting these investments. They always accumulate right over a lifetime.
Yep.
So the prices of the things that are being bought, the stocks, can't be, closer to their real truth. They have to be more further away, and I can't enunciate it tonight, but I know that can't be a good thing.
No, and it's not. And I think there's so many routes to go, but I want to focus on who would pay for it.
Well, apparently every baby throughout their lifetime has to put into the, you know, it's like Social Security.
Come is it a check. Replacement for Social Security or an addition to?
Well, this is just some billionaire question. Hedge fund guy talking right. on TV. But if it gains any traction with you know, big state Republicans who and, you know, George W. Bush previewed something and attempted this in his second term, which was to put a, you know, an investment component to Social Security.
I remember that.
And he got nowhere with that. Probably because from both directions, it doesn't make sense. If you're a socialist, that doesn't make sense. And if you're, you know, believing that the interference in the government right now in the markets is too severe for them to function properly anyway, so doing more of it
yeah.
is worse, accelerates the problem.
I think you just defined what the what Mises or like Ron Paul or anyone of that ilk would say. If you already don't like government interfering, then this is that on steroids, and there's no way it would improve things. Now, if Social Security was scrapped and everyone born on September 1st, 2020 and thereafter never had to pay Social Security tax, but instead that it went into a private fund, would that be better than just straight up Social Security? We could have that debate. It's very questionable, and there's so many opportunities for the banksters to make money off this. Yeah, I know they say that's zero fee, but that's all. That's not
how correct. Would they do it? Explain that piece.
Well, there would be so many new companies going public trying to get part of that money, and the banksters make massive money off the IPOs, initial public offerings. So that's one way the banksters would make so much money off of this. And
wait a minute. Go back to the part of companies that wouldn't otherwise exist as publicly traded companies becoming so,
right.
to chase this forced yeah. money, this forced investment.
Yeah, it's that's the malinvestment that we would be talking about. It's just the supply of investment funds is artificially high. Therefore, more people are going to be coming into the market. They'll think they're going to be able to get a piece of the pie, and a lot of them will. It's just, you know, you could couch that as they needed this opportunity to get money, and now they have it and they're able to prosper. But that's pretty naive in my opinion. And really, it's in the end, it'll be wasted money. And that's not even considering all the corruption that could take place and will take place.
So it grows corruption, it wastes resources, it promotes malinvestment. And the targeted population that are supposedly supposed to believe in it, the renters, the wage earning right. folk who have nothing totaling the value of what Americans' wealth would have been 30, 40 years ago. They don't own property. They don't own assets. Are supposed to be turned on by the idea of that kind of state-forced capitalism.
Yeah.
Is forcing capitalism on people the way to convince people that they ought to, you know, like it, love it, and want more of it?
It sounds like not free market capitalism, maybe crony capitalism or a whole new form of like a mesh of,
is that corporatism?
Corporatism or just authoritarianism more like anything.
Yeah.
So no, absolutely. I guess, oh gosh, I had another couple good thoughts that, you know, there's just so much to cover. I could talk about this all
day. There's all kinds of tyrants among us who would love to just be like, yeah, we should force them to put their check into the market.
For sure.
And you can hear that angle of it too. You'll hear supporters of this idea, you know, Mitt Romney was in favor of forcing people to buy health insurance in Massachusetts, so much so that his political nemesis in the 2016 election or 12 election, you know, took it national, right? Forcing people to buy things is never going to result in what you're hoping to achieve.
No, and it's pretty, I mean, the evidence bears it out, but I think it's just common sense that doing this will have tons of unintended consequences, and you're not going to replace something like Social Security or Medicaid with this. It'll be in addition to.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're taking half the funding away from Social Security and funneling it here, or, you know, because We could have a debate of, hey, do we need some sort of safety net? Should it be government run or private or some sort of hybrid? I could have that debate, and there's a lot to talk about. But we know for a fact what we're looking at here is a defunct Social Security safety net and Medicaid, Medicare, etc. It's going to be bankrupt. It is bankrupt. It's going to be insolvent, and it's not. It's going to be ugly. And all the pension systems, too, in the long run. But can we inflate this bubble for another 10, 20 years? Can we push it down the road? Can we have another generation literally born and shackled into it? And this is one of the points, kind of to maybe not end the conversation, but something I really want to focus on. This is predicated upon the fact that the stock market will increase by 8% every year compounded for the next 30 or 40 years. There's times in normal history where the stock market is flat for 10, 20 years.
Because it's a market.
Or even goes down. Can you believe that the stock market used to go down for like years at a time?
Yeah, they call it bear market.
Yeah. So do you exactly. So you think that might happen in the next 10, 20 years? If not, then what we're going to be looking at is a bunch of people with $1 million retirement accounts, but we're going to be looking at $50,000 an ounce gold. Okay. Maybe not that high, but pretty damn. I mean, we're talking a factor of 10 or 15, 20 inflation over the next 10 years, 20 years. If you're looking at the stock market going up 8% every year, well, real assets are going to go up way higher than that when we lose the reserve currency status. That's what it all comes down to.
Well, I think Ackman's betting on the fact we won't have that loss.
Well, absolutely. You know, that, and that's just disingenuous at the least, and it's manipulation and a lie, in my opinion. So.
Call it like it is.
I know. Man. Why can't I get on CNBC and debate them? That'd be
fun. I think on a cultural level, though, this will do nothing to promote belief in the system. You can't completely prop it up by the force of the state. Like, and that's what it is. You have to have your money deducted from your paycheck.
Right.
And if you don't choose to do that, you're in the black market economy or in a barter system, and you're greatly disadvantaged economically, and or they'll find you and just confiscate cash if you have it. So if you're participating in this forced system,
you know, to be fair, maybe
why would you treat it as something that's not capitalism? Capitalism is supposed to be about free choices.
What might be more fair is if you had the option to not participate at all, so you don't get any account, but you don't get taxed either. If you choose that for your child,
taxes.
Well, I would choose that for my child, as they opt out. If you're allowed to do that, then I would have a lot more, okay, we could actually talk about this. Because you could go the government-only route, the independent, you know, i.e. you're out of the system route, and they're okay with that, and then you can sign off. Or that hybrid route, you know, hey, half of it goes to the government, Social Security, half of it goes to the stock market or, you know, mutual funds. In the end, I think it is all pretty much a bankster scam. But from a big picture, I understand we got to figure out some of these issues. Are we going to have 100%, you know, free market individualist or 100% government, something in between? We could have that debate. But this specific instance, it's not just a red herring. It's manipulation. And Bill Ackman is not doing this on accident, or he's stupid or something. Like, he knows what he's doing. He's an assassin, a bankster assassin. That's how I think of him.
Wow. Yeah.
Assassinating future generations' wealth.
There you go.
That's what I mean.
So. See if anybody's even paying attention to this with this much violence in the street these days and Elon Musk putting chips into brains. Why would that necessarily be a bad thing? We can get to that next segment, the fourth segment of Patriot Power Hour.
For sure. Maybe we can talk a little bit more of the mandatory vaccinations, some chatter around that. I've had, again, bringing up a work example, people talk at work like, oh, the vaccination's coming out by end of the year. I hope it does. We can get back to life and traveling. And these are like educated people, and I'm wondering what's wrong with them. I don't know. We can talk a little bit about that here in the future, though. But we are going to break. Patriot Power Hour, as always, check out PrepperBroadcasting.com. Stick with us. We'll be back for this final segment of the 110th episode of Patriot Power Hour.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
These things you say we will have, we already have.
That's true. I ain't promising you nothing extra. I'm just giving you life and you're giving me life. And I'm saying that men can live together without butchering one another.
It's said that governments are achieved by the double tongues. And there is iron in your words of death for all Comanche to see. And so there is iron in your words of life. No signed paper can hold the iron. It must come from men. The words of 10 bearers carry the same iron of life and death. It is good that warriors such as we meet in the struggle of life or death. It shall be life.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
All right, Patriot Power Hour, final segment, September 1st, 2020. Let's head right into it. Brain chips. Yes, brain chips. The oft-discussed and feared brain chip by the tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists is finally coming to bear here in 2020. We got Elon Musk unveiling what's known as the Neuralink. And if you're a fan of the Joe Rogan Experience, you may have heard Musk on there a few months ago talk about this. And this is just kind of the beta test, maybe even an alpha test for what's coming the next 5, 10, 20 plus years. But you and I, Future Dan, just before coming out of the break, were saying, really, this is like the cell phone going into your brain, but actually, you know, 10, maybe 100 times more powerful in terms of its what it can do. I mean, just think of like the flip phone from 10 years ago compared to the smartphone right now.
Moore's law is still in effect.
Exactly. So now it's going to the brain. And it'll be able, and it won't seem like, but I mean, being able to interact with your brain, your neurons, and kind of interface like that is Moore's law. Yeah, maybe the processing speed won't seem as high, but it's a whole new level of processing, right? It's kind of that
close enough to be interacting with human brains.
Absolutely. So it may be very simple, like, oh, it'll only do one or two things. It seems kind of mundane, or, oh, that's kind of cool, a nifty gadget. Before you know it, it's going to be literally like a tool that will be necessary for you to do any work.
Well, right now, it's limb function, eyesight, hearing, diseases like Parkinson's, hopefully diseases like epilepsy, Alzheimer, detection of strokes. They'll put sensors in bodies to detect. So it's going to expand lifespans. Okay? It's going to have a risk of being somehow manipulating behavior. Because if you get to the point where these microelectronics get small enough that, you know, now you're into the information sphere with what used to be in your hand, and if people put transmitters, which they're going to have to, it's going to have to be a transceiver. It's going to be a radio of some type. It's going to be a radio frequency that interacts out of your skull.
Yeah, well, here, this is kind of creepy, but this is exactly what it is. One of Neuralink's inventions revealed a surgical robot that inserts electrodes into the brain. The devices are connected by flexible threads measuring 4 to 6 micrometers, or about 1/3 the diameter of a human hair, capable of transferring high volumes of data. So they kind of like stick these wires into your brain through your skull, and I think that might interact with something kind of like the Matrix. Like, you know, those plug into some maybe radio or...
And at first it'll be...
87% success rate. I don't know about the 13%. What happens with that? The animals, 13%, but...
But to be clear, this year, and for the near-term future, these devices are going to be sensors. They're just going to be taking data, mm-hmm.
passive.
Out of parts of your brain.
Passive, yeah.
To know a state or several states and detect the diseases, detect the ailments. But eventually, when does the transmissions reverse and you're starting to stimulate parts of the brain? And then how sophisticated can that get? Can you get into an entire virtual world by closing your eyes and just, you know, we're talking Matrix stuff.
Yeah.
And it's being experimented on people right now.
Yeah.
The social impacts to this, even just 10 years from now, could be profound.
I think that's a good way to think of it. Just imagine in 10 years they're able to essentially put a heads-up display of your telephone into your brain. Maybe your phone's not literally in your brain, but you're able to have that interface so you can kind of just close your eyes or maybe with your eyes open. I mean, we've all seen the science fiction, right? But you can kind of just like scan through your contacts or just kind of look out into the gaze and see what's going on. Maybe with a contact lens as well, you know, interface. So whatever it is, it's going to come off kind of as a playful, you know, hey, this is a nifty thing. This is kind of cool. You can do it for your health or to help lose weight or, you know, if you have like some epilepsy or something.
Of, like a miracle. Yeah. It will make people
it's
walk
not all
again.
Bad. I'm not anti-technology, but I've seen a lot of the negatives. I mean, I was born in 1985. So I've seen everything from, I mean, I'm not from way back in the day. You know, I did have television, but we had phones that plugged into the wall, no cell phones, no internet, maybe 30 channels on the television, which was pretty big for back then. And that's what we started for all the way. And that, you know, from age of 10 and between by the time I was 25 years old, had smartphones, had all this. And now it just continues to grow. So I guess what I'm saying, though, is I've seen all the negatives as well. I've seen myself as well as my peers and even the older people get so twisted up on social media, addicted to their phones, always online, staring at screens like zombies. I'm totally guilty of it myself. Imagine, though, the kids that are born today that when they're 10, 15, 20 years old, they're going to have this stuff plugged into their brain, literally. So that's a whole new level. And again, not to scare people, this is just what we've got to be ready for. And are you going to accept the chip, literally or figuratively, is kind of the next step,
I think. Yeah, and if you don't, and it won't transmit off your mental states. It won't transmit off whether you're being deceptive. It won't transmit your convictions that can be detected and look at trends in your views. If you're not totally surveillable, are we going to start seeing places in this country where you can't participate? I'm sure that's coming to totalitarian regimes, but can we stop it here? And will there be, it's a cliche and I hate it too, like a bill of rights of some type about this? It won't be a bill of rights because I doubt it's getting into the Constitution, but will there be any kind of laws that say you're equally protected for not participating with hardware in your head?
Yeah, I think it comes down to your data. Owning your data, your privacy, and you know, being secure in your papers and effects, but
could
it's all digital.
Issue, actually.
Yeah, so I think a lot of it already applies. I'm not a constitutional scholar. There's a lot of stuff that already speaks to this, just needs to be kind of applied or interpreted for 2020, 2030, 2040. But there might be some new. I mean, this is totally. They can never thought of this, you know, in the last 200-300 years. So a lot of it is evergreen, but I think there might be need to be some new legislation or, you know, even an amendment or whatnot. Not, you know, we'll see.
But what won't stop is corporations from, you know, conspiring to, like, how many things can you not participate in now if you don't choose to use a phone?
It's essentially impossible if you don't use the internet or a phone. You can get away without using a telephone by using Skype or using, you know, VoIP on the internet. But if you're not going to use internet or the telephone, you're pretty much, you know, Amish, right?
You're not communicating at the same footing as anybody else.
You really got no hope, I don't think. How could you even, let's say you had a kid that was trying to do Boy Scouts or something. They don't even do by U.S. mail to like be like, here's our month's activities, right? It's all, I'm sure, on a message board or a Discord server or, you know, Slack or Microsoft Teams or Zoom. Everything is. That was before the pandemic. With the pandemic, it's like everything's connected. So, hey, but maybe that's a pretty good life to go live on the side of a mountain and not have to deal with all these people. I know a lot of our listeners do that, so I'm very jealous. I hope to be like you someday.
There'll be more of them, I predict, because imagine the day when your Boy Scout troop meeting is online, and you're only going to access it if you got the hardware in your head.
Yeah, no, definitely. So I think there's, on one hand, this is a very pressing and immediate issue, but I still think there's decades before it really gets to that level.
Might be totally unsafe to your body, too.
Well, absolutely. I won't even buy the latest PlayStation first version, first hardware run, because they always find issues and kind of tweak it over the first production run or two.
I'm talking about the electromagnetic fields in near your head.
Well, I was thinking just they may have a couple bugs they got to work out, but if you're talking about the fields and stuff, who knows, on accident or on purpose, what kind of Trojan horse and other, electromagnetic issues too.
For sure. There's for some sure. Fraction.
So many unknowns, absolutely.
There's going to be a fraction of the population who can't get this because of the sensitivity to it, and they'll get ill from it. And then we have a dividing point in humanity, the people that can withstand it and choose it and adopt it and become cyborg. And then the people who don't. It's a divider for the human race.
Well, at least they'll be able to listen to all of our podcasts all within 18 seconds.
And fast forward in their head?
Yeah, they'll be able to parse it immediately. So they'll be able to listen to the entire Patriot Power Hour and Prepper Broadcasting archive in seconds. And hopefully our knowledge will transform over that way. How about that?
Hopefully voluntarily in the future.
Yeah, always not force-fed to them. Although there could be worse things to be force-fed, I suppose. Anyway, folks, we do got to get out of here. I thought it was a pretty fun night. Covered a lot of different topics, a lot of stuff. Could go for another hour or two, I swear. We will not be live
next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday on the 8th of September. However, we are going to bring some content. Whether that's going live on a different day later in the week or pre-recorded. TBD. Going to discuss with the Intrepid Commander as well. But I do encourage everybody to stick with us on the Prepper Broadcast Network, because the Next Generation show is coming up. And of course, we've got a long list of shows and daily audio cache files throughout the week. It's September. Labor Day is coming up. I think it's a good time to get your preps in gear. I'm personally doing so now and stepping up the next week or two, getting things squared away before election and winter hits. So that's my thoughts heading into this Labor Day. So
yeah, November's going to be tumultuous.
Absolutely.
We need to be ready for it.
Absolutely. So, all right, Future Dan, hope you have a good rest of the week. Have a good weekend, and we'll be back pretty darn soon, all right?
Yeah, pray that rioting dies down and we don't have more incidences that spark it up, and we'll be talking probably something about economic mayhem next week on the Patriot Power Hour. Rock the place when the biscuits do.
Are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
These things you say